Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 29, Episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For April 30th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
Lift yourself up on your feet, that's Jack O'Brien!
Whoa! 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 And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh boy, Miles been watching you like a hawk in the sky that fly, and you were my Gray, my Gray.
That is from Chapman Rice, back at it again. Your girl never left. Thank you, at Chapman Rice, for that, a.k.a.
Good to see you back, because, you know, Christy Yamaguchi main was really coming for it.
But you know what, Chapman, gotta let him know. You never left. You've been here.
Hey, and speaking of good to see you back, we are thrilled to have back on the show the hilarious comedian and podcast host, Ms. Barbara Gray.
Hi. I've been watching. I could use the same one.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been watching. Just pretend
oh
it just
boy.
Happened.
Barbara watching you.
Yeah.
In the sky that fly, you were my Gray.
Boom.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Barbara?
Oh, nothing. Just gonna have this Kanye song in my head for the rest of time. Thanks to you guys. So appreciate it.
We'll get to that later. Before we ruin everyone's brains. Yeah, I get it.
Barbara, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I went to a brunch yesterday full of people who were very smart and talking about things I couldn't comprehend. So I searched Fabio Bird and started showing everybody the picture of Fabio.
When the bird hit him on the roller coaster?
Yeah. I looked at today, this morning, to see what my last search history was. And I was like, oh yeah, that was the last thing I looked up.
There you go. Wait, so what was everyone else talking about?
I don't know. They all went to Columbia together, and they were just like being smart. And I don't know what they were talking about, but I was just like.
Did you just interject? You're like, "Hey, y'all, remember when that bird hit Fabio in the face?"
Pretty much.
Like,
I was talking to one person about weird celebrity encounters, and one time I was at UCB, and somebody was standing outside, and they were like, "Big surprise outside to your right. Big surprise outside to your right." And when we walked outside, Fabio was standing there.
Oh, gotcha.
With a bird still attached
to
his face.
Still, he was afraid people wouldn't recognize him unless he had a bird. Yeah.
It's me, the bird guy.
Fabio.
That happened in LA, didn't it? I think at like Magic Mountain or something.
I think so.
Yeah, for people who don't know, Fabio, the great seller of fake ass butter,
and romance cover art man. Mm-hmm. He was riding a roller coaster and a bird like flew in the path of the roller coaster and just smashed his face up. I think broke his nose maybe.
It looks nasty. If you look at the picture, it's like very bloody Fabio face.
Fabio.
So I was talking about it with one person and then I just started showing everybody at the table because I was like, I don't know what to say to you guys.
Right, right.
Here
They're
you
like,
go.
Cartesian what? No, look at Fabio's face. It's got blood on it.
Yeah, so that was my last search.
Boom.
What was Fabio's path to fame? He was a model for romance novel covers. Mm-hmm. Do we even need those? Because aren't they drawn mostly? Or
yeah,
are
but he
those...
was inspired them because he was like long-haired and ripped and like...
They were just like,
that is true. I don't know actually his like origin before that. I mean, I guess he was just a model.
What
and
a
then...
strange path to fame.
You know who has... I was just at California Adventure and I went on the whatever... Little Mermaid ride, and they gave her dad Triton like abs. He had a body, and I was like, "This is uncomfortable."
Why?
I felt really. He was very Fabio.
You're like, I had to
inspired.
Ride again just to make sure.
Yeah,
he was shred daddy
multiple times.
Mm. Prince Eric could never live up to that.
You know? They say.
I know. Yeah.
He looks like he was in a syndicated TV series called Acapulco Heat, and then he did a fragrance campaign for Versace. He didn't really quite do anything. I used to think he was just like a dude who was so cool looking in the 90s. They're like, hey, that means you get to be a celebrity.
His brand was just so overwhelming. They're like, oh, you're like a living cartoon character. You're famous.
Right.
Done.
He was the like the.
It's kind of like the Schwarzenegger model.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And the name. His name is so great.
Yeah, the name goes a long way.
Like when,
if his name was just like
name.
Rick, right, I don't think he'd be where he is.
Yeah, no.
The sexiest name of all, Rick.
Rick.
It is weird to parlay like being a hot man model into selling like vegetable oil spread.
Yeah.
That is a strange.
Well, I think the marketing made sense, right? Because they're like their demographic they were selling to were like women who need the decadence of butter, but cannot believe that this new horrible chemical spray is not in fact butter. And who better to sell it to you than the man from the mystery novels or the romance novels that you pine over at night?
Also the mystery novels. He's the star of many of my favorite mystery novels. The Fabio mysteries. The Fabio murders.
Yeah.
He Murder was, on the Fabio Express.
Have you seen the cover where he's actually Poirot?
No.
It's really amazing. Yeah. Shirt blown open.
Yeah. His shirt does just always burst.
Blown open. Yeah.
Just giant fucking
He's always
fan.
In the windiest fucking places.
Just a huge jet turbine just blowing his clothes open. Barbara, what's something you think is overrated?
Exercising.
All right.
Go on.
I don't know. It's just I was like doing it really intensely for a while and then I stopped and I'm happier.
Perfect. Make it work for you.
I started doing that keto diet and I was losing weight that way. And then I was like, well, what am I doing? Why am I working out all the time? And so I just kind of stopped. And I think my life has been
better.
Yeah. Me exercising, the only time I can really get myself to push myself is if I'm competing.
Yeah.
Like, so when I play pickup soccer, I'll run. But if I'm just like, hey, let me throw the iTunes in or whatever,
I
sound like an old man and go for a jog. Fuck no. I can't.
Yeah.
Do that
I need
shit.
To, I have to have a person there telling me, like, tell me what to do or whatever. I was doing like Orange Theory for a few months, like really intensely.
What's Orange Theory?
It's this specific gym where it's like half weights and half cardio, basically.
Okay.
And they're just telling you what it's like having a personal trainer kind
of. Right.
But yeah, I was doing it like a ton. And then I was just like, this is so much stress and money. And what am I doing? And then I stopped and I was like, oh, I don't have to do this.
I mean, this is a great time for a seamless plug. That's why we do Beachbody on Demand here in this office.
That's right.
Because the Tony Horton's 10-minute trainer, legit, actually, Anna and I have definitely been doing that video. I think Jack's on the train now. You should check this out because it's only 10 minutes.
Right.
And that's the only way I'm like, oh, I'll get my sweat on for 10 minutes.
I'm in a Beachbody infomercial for their country line dancing workout. So,
oh, really?
I know all about
Shit.
It. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We're going to have to pull that video
that's
up
legit.
In a little bit.
Are you into country line dancing?
No, I was after I did that workout for 3 months every day. It was actually very fun.
Oh, like you were in the series?
I was in the test group for it and and ended up liking it a lot. It's
so
called Country Heat.
Wait, so if you have the Country Heat video series and I pull it up, I might see Barbara in the
background?
It's
only in like the commercial for like a second. I'm dancing in my living room too.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That's interesting. But to like have truth in advertising, they make you actually do the program?
Yeah, I did
wow.
the program.
That's
so like so they can have like real before and afters. Like I'm before and after
dope.
From a few years ago.
There you go.
But I mean, that was fun exercising. That was dancing. That doesn't count, I don't think.
Mm. Okay. Are you wearing cowboy boots?
I wish, no.
Even they know you. It's hard to get your sweat on fully, you know what I mean? With, totally. With the boots on.
What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I've never been like a huge Disney person, but I did go with a friend who's a big Disney person this weekend. I was like, okay, I think adults enjoying Disney is underrated. I liked seeing adults like wearing stupid ears and having fun.
Right.
I also got drunk because you can drink there.
Yeah,
and California I'd never been
Adventure.
Drunk there before. And I think that probably helped a lot.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, I was like, okay, I'm going to like not be a cynic for a minute and kind of like let this be.
I'm still kind of when I see like full on adults like really about that Disney life, like the gangs of Disney
know,
and that kind
I
of
know.
Thing. I'm like, all
like
right.
Rabbits.
But however, when I went, I was like, I'm not going to knock being here because shit is magical too. Especially
I know.
If you get drunk too.
I think I kind of like let it go for the first time. Shout out to Frozen. and
seamless advertising.
And I think I just like enjoyed seeing people kind of like be little kids for the first. I usually am kind of like annoyed at it.
It's refreshing, I think, in this climate.
But it's also so capitalistic. It's like it's both, you know, it's both worlds. But I don't know. Yeah.
Look, just keep making that Dole Whip. Shout out to that guy who wore a Zeit Gang t-shirt to Disney World. I hope they gave you a discount.
Oh, yeah.
Can't promise it's worth anything, but hey, shout
out
to you.
Hope you had some fast passes for that.
Hashtag Zeit Gang.
Hashtag Zeit Gang.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
People think that you can't get fucked up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm here to tell you that's not true.
Wait, do people think you can't get fucked up?
Yes, I'm from there, and every time I say that, everyone's first question is like, well, what's up with the alcohol laws there? Like, you guys can't drink, right? And I'm like, no, everyone is very repressed, and so they make sure that they
drink in secret.
Go very hard.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wait, but what are the laws exactly?
It's like you can get 3.2 alcohol or beers in the convenience stores and stuff like that.
3.2 beers?
3.2%.
Oh, okay.
Alcohol.
I thought it was going to be like, okay, that's three. Yeah. My man, I can offer you a point, one-fifth of a beer as well.
Just a little pony beer.
Right.
Oh, and then like, do they not sell on Sunday and stuff like that?
Yeah, I can't. No, they sell on Sunday, but you can only get like liquor at the actual state-run liquor stores,
which is
strange.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks that it's this weird, you know, dry state or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm here to tell you that.
Guess what?
True.
So that's like all the mainstream beers, like Bud Light, Budweiser. Those are all 3.2 and below, right?
Yeah. Everyone who sells like in a grocery store there has to make a 3.2
version. Oh, do they even?
Version.
Oh, so that's like a special Utah exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a few other states that have the same thing. So they make them specifically for that.
Oh.
It's not very exciting.
I hear it's a good comedy city too. Like comedians will say it's a good place.
It is. And
go.
Actually, I know one comedian recording her album there, May 26th. It's me. Okay.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Hey.
If you're in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Homecoming.
You know what? Actually, we have some people who listen out in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were looking through
we
like,
got some
Zeit Gang is out there in Utah.
Yeah.
Salt Lake Zeit Gang.
Yeah. It's a good comedy city because it's like they're like very hungry for, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Something different. Something new.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
And shout out to the Jazz who got their ass kicked yesterday, but still.
Oh, my God.
Made it to the second round.
I used to love that. I don't have time to like watch basketball anymore, but back in the 90s, I was a very big Jazz fan.
Yeah.
Back when the Holy Trinity was playing together?
Yeah.
Jeff Hornacek, mm-hmm. John Stockton, and Karl Malone.
Ooh, Hornacek getting in there.
Oh, you got to get Jeff Hornacek.
He's got to be
Come on,
counted.
Man. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, as a Lakers fan who like would regularly scream at the TV against the Jazz, all of those players are implanted in my mind.
I can't talk to you.
Well, look, y'all had your time, and then we had ours, didn't we?
We didn't have our time. We never won.
Well, yeah, but you were beating us for a while. Anyway, but that's beside the point. I digress.
All right, let's get into the stories of the day. We wanted to start out with the weekend box office, because this weekend we had a record-shattering box office from Avengers Infinity War. Broke the records for the biggest worldwide opening weekend ever.
Wow.
Also, the biggest American domestic cume, as they say in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the most scenes between a talking raccoon and a giant space dwarf.
Oh, sweet.
But
hey, representation matters, man.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it seems like this, I don't know. I saw Black Panther coming because it was just like such a media tsunami. Like everybody was talking about it before it came out. But for me, I was like, all right, I've seen enough Avengers movies now. Like I watched the last three and it didn't feel like I needed to see what happened next in the, you know, the crossover franchise. It started feeling like, okay, this is just, you know, checking in for a few minutes with each character.
I think really it's just because it's such a spectacle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what it does is unites. Even if you weren't like, maybe you're an Iron Man guy, but you don't fuck with Thor, or maybe you're a Guardians of the Galaxy person, but you don't fuck with Spider-Man. It literally, if you had any affection for any of these like sort of big MCU Marvel films, then you could come and there was something for everybody.
Right.
Which I guess is the thing.
But isn't that kind of annoying? Because yeah, if it's only a few minutes with each one, you're not really getting what you want.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see it. I'll probably wait to see it based on how the theater looked when I went. Meanwhile, I saw Blockers for the second time
in
the
theater this weekend.
This episode brought to you by Blockers.
No, the movie's crazy. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Do you think that they tried to call it Cock Blockers and they made them call it? I'm assuming they made them take out
Cock. Cock
Blockers.
Yeah, for sure. Cock Blockers. But when I saw the trailers, I definitely was like, wow, this looks cool because it was
about Blockers,
Avengers.
Right?
We're talking about Blockers. I love John Cena and seeing his naked body. But like, no, in the Avengers trailer, I think when we first came out, we were kind of like, well, whatever. But we were at the same time, Jack, you and I were both kind of like, well, it looked like they got everybody together for this one. So I think based off that, like, if you're a superhero film lover, then it was probably a must see.
Everyone's also saying that the end is, I don't know,
right.
Something incredible makes everyone ponder their life choices or something. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Based on the tweets I've been reading, something dark happens and it might be that Trump gets elected.
Yeah.
Because that's how people were
Trump
trying.
Becomes
they were like,
Avenger?
It was like the 2016 election all over again.
No, I think what happens is T'Challa takes off his mask. And it was actually Donald Trump the whole time. That really had people fucked up.
Yeah. But yeah, so the right is trying to spin this into a,
what?
You know, this is a movie. I think they got that taste of Roseanne. You know, Roseanne was a big hit.
Right.
And they got to take credit for that because it was a show that actually had a character who believed in like a couple of their views.
Right.
Even though she was very progressive in most of her views. Economically, she was a Trumpist, even though that's not why. There was a study that just came out that said that Trump's election was not about economic issues, no matter how much we want to believe it was. It was actually about just really conservative people being worried about, you know, the white man being left behind.
Yeah, lost status.
Yeah, lost status, exactly. So they got that taste of being able to take credit, you know, have a win. We'll talk about the Kanye thing last week. They were relevant.
Putting
suddenly.
Points on the board right
so now. So now we're getting these reviews. There was a review on Breitbart that casually refers to Thanos, the bad guy from this movie, as an environmentalist wacko.
Fuck.
Yeah, obsessed with salvaging the natural resources of the universe by murdering half of the same universe's population, which, as we know, is what environmentalists want to happen.
Right.
They want to kill half the people.
Yeah, this is how we're going to fight climate change. Kill half of y'all.
Right.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Fox News had a review where they talked about how the movie was all about, and the franchise in general, was all about defending the sanctity of fathers who have been, quote, culturally downplayed. They point to the opening scene of Iron Man where Tony Stark says, that's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far. That is one of the first things we hear Tony Stark say in the entire franchise. Now, it's worth noting that is the introduction of a character whose entire arc is leaving those misguided views behind and leaving his father's legacy of warmongering behind to, you know, become a more progressive part of the decidedly progressive Avengers, but they chose to just ignore that and talk about how you know, Thanos' daughter is like part of the story, I guess, in Infinity War. And they're like, see, this is focusing on family values and how the patriarchy is underrated.
They have like a daddy-daughter purity vow or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Between them.
Right.
Promise me you won't fuck till you're married.
Yeah. You want a like, picture of him with a gun before she goes to prom, you know?
Right. Meanwhile, the other way to read that is Thanos is a despot who apparently loves gold, as evidenced by his gauntlet.
Fabulous gauntlet.
He wants his daughter to be working by his side at all times, and his political ambition includes fucking over half the population, so the other half can have the resources he feels they've been denied.
Wow.
Which, that's... That's the other way to look at it.
A fucking idiot autocrat who's obsessed with gold,
right,
wants his daughter. Wow, this is crazy. I fail to see the parallel, except for the ones that Breitbart is drawing.
Well, think about it. Clinton is saying that Chelsea Clinton might run. So, I mean, it's all there.
Okay, totally.
Now, an actually really interesting take on a conservative read of a popular movie right now is one that I heard Wesley Morris and Jenna Wortham talking about on their podcast last week. Their podcast called Still Processing. And they talked about how A Quiet Place, this movie by John Krasinski, that is, you know, about a family who is in hiding from these monsters who, if you make a noise, they will like come find you and devour you. How that can be read, and they were saying, like, they don't think this was intentionally the point. They just think that this is why it's resonating so much. How that can be read as, you know, a representation of how white Americans feel, where, like, the monsters in this case are, like, brown alien invaders. And if white people, like, make a noise, then the brown aliens, come and devour them because they're, like, overly sensitive. I don't know. I thought that was actually a pretty interesting read from them. Just they put that in the context of the Roseanne reboot, because there's this scene in the Roseanne reboot that I've seen a couple times now, or heard quotes from a couple times now, where like Roseanne and Dan fall asleep on the couch and they sleep all the way from Wheel of Fortune to Kimmel. And she's like, we slept all the way to Kimmel. And then Dan is like, we missed all the shows with black and Asian people. And Roseanne's like, well, they're all like us. There, you're caught up. And it's just like really aggressively like, seems like that's sort of the same point of view as like white people are being like marginalized and pushed to the side, which is, as we were saying,
I mean, all we're seeing is white people starting to see what it's like to not be white.
Right.
Like, oh my God, wow. Raising your voice and feeling like you're going to get savaged. That's a foreign situation to everybody. This is new territory they're forging. I mean, like, look, as that poll suggests, some white people are very fragile. And so to even think of, you know, getting devoured by the brown aliens that have taken over this country, or liberals, I mean, God, it must be so frightening.
I think it suggests that, you know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, white people in America being born on third, thinking they hit a triple.
Right.
And I think that we assume that they're completely ignorant of the advantage that they come into the world with. And I think that this sort of anxiety about, you know, being marginalized, being put on a level playing field, suggests that they're not like totally ignorant of it. They're actually well aware of their advantage, and they're like terrified of losing that advantage.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of where that fragility comes from. They're like, something might be taken away from me,
right?
Which is so fucked up.
Yeah.
But what was the correlation in the Krasinski movie? Was that like, I don't
it's
quite
like
get
agrarian
it.
People being
right.
Oh, okay.
They're like shooketh. All Etsy-ish and shit. And
it's basically
like, if they make a noise, they will be attacked.
Right,
like where that's sort of how maybe white Americans feel in a PC culture. They can't
do
anything
without
the... And
I like how Roseanne was like,
the...
I got this.
Right.
I know how to approach this.
But one of us will have to go see the Avengers movie at some point this week, and we'll speak more knowledgeably about all the crazy conservative shit that is represented in there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. So we wanted to talk about, there was a crazy night of media over the weekend. I guess this was Saturday night.
Yeah, culture wars continue.
Yeah, so there was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which would normally be attended by the president, was not. He boycotted.
He did the honorable thing and had Sarah Huckabee Sanders sit up on that dais to take the heat for him.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And she looked happy to be there. She
looked, oh, yeah.
She always looks thrilled.
Yeah.
So unhappy. So, yeah, how'd it go down, Miles?
How did it go down? Well, let's see. The way it works is every year they'll hire a comedian to roast people. And, you know, when you're hired as a comedian to roast people, what you're going to do is you're going to go up there and you're going to roast people. And that sometimes means doing jokes that are truth adjacent, that it makes people very uncomfortable. And Michelle Wolf went up there and she had the audacity to talk about some shit that just hit too close to home for people. Now, when I first saw like everybody talking about, I wasn't really going to watch it because I was like, whatever, it's fine. Like, this is the least of our problems. But when I heard about like sort of how in Michelle Wolf went, I was like, perfect. I'm glad a comedian went and did a comedian's level roast rather than pulling punches and doing the DC version of roasting people. Because it seemed like a lot of the jokes for people who are in comedy go, yeah, that's a joke and you should be able to take that. But the media world, my God, they clutched their pearls so hard and squeezed them to the point they turned to fucking diamonds.
Yeah.
This is the biggest pearl clutching I think I've ever
oh, yeah.
seen.
It,
in my
it was
life.
Crazy. There were all kinds of jokes. I mean, for me personally, I thought it was, I enjoyed it. There are some jokes that were like, meh, not great. But, you know, it seems like for a lot of the truth telling she did, everyone sort of hung on to the jokes that she made about Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Right.
And everyone was, I think, using all the other jokes that Michelle Wolf kind of made them uncomfortable with. They latched on to the Sarah Huckabee thing and then just projected onto that. So,
I mean, she's coming at a feminist icon there. You
yeah,
know?
Feminist. I agree. Exactly. Woo, boy.
I think the thing she said was Sarah Huckabee Sanders burns truths and uses the ash to create a perfect smoky eye.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the main thing that everyone's freaking
then,
out about.
Right. That and also when they said, oh, I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale.
Now that one was
that's
good.
So yeah.
Like people keep focusing on the smoky eye one, which is like, it's kind of a sweaty joke. It's like there's like too
it's
many
a lot,
steps
it's
to
a lot,
it. It's
yeah.
like, all right. And it's also not the least bit offensive. So I don't understand why people are getting mad about that, other than that maybe conservatives don't know what that means, smoky eye, and they're just like, don't make fun of her makeup.
Like that's liberal slang for her lazy eye?
Oh, maybe that's
she got
what
that smoky
saying.
Eye. Yeah. I don't know. I
She's
have
got
no
smoke
idea.
In there.
I don't know what the fuck they're trying to say, because honestly, objectively, that's not about her appearance.
It's absolutely
it's talking about
not.
Makeup application.
It's like if you made fun of Trump's tie. It's the same thing.
Right,
but
right.
they're assigning it to her
But
looks.
I think because, you know, they got red for filth. Even
right.
on the left, too. I mean, like, the Michelle Wolf had pretty good jokes for even Rachel Maddow and shit, too. I think, you know, it was just, that was the thing they could hold on to basically say, like, that was so offensive. She went too far. And, you know, she just called everybody out.
And they obviously always do really well with that. So I'm sure we should be surprised.
Right,
right. So I think the two places where she could be seen as making a critique about her appearance was calling her Aunt Lydia, because in stature, she somewhat resembles the
and that's like a dowdy
actress.
Character.
She's a dowdy character, exactly. So that could be pointed to, and also the fact that there was some reference to her. She was like, whenever she steps to the podium, I don't know whether she's going to, you know, lie to us or tell us pick teams for softball, and like something about shirts and skins, which she does have the appearance of, like, you know, maybe a softball player adjacent.
Oh, I didn't really, I guess I didn't think
which,
about that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. When I heard it, I didn't even connect, because it was, again, a lot of steps there, because I was,
yeah.
I didn't get it. But yeah, if that's what she's trying to reference, that's,
I feel
you
like,
better than that.
I feel like Sarah Huckabee Sanders should like take advantage of this, start a makeup line.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like
right.
liberal tears, lip gloss, and just like really go for it.
Lies by Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Exactly.
Just get your lies makeup kit with any Sarah
yeah,
Huckabee Sanders.
I mean, I feel like that's what Trump would do. Turn it around and, you know.
Yeah, brand it. But yeah, it was funny how she, you could tell as the focus went to her, you could tell
Woo!
She was just boiling
yeah.
As those jokes were happening.
She did not seem comfortable with a good ribbing. I mean, granted, she is at an extreme disadvantage of like having a sense of humor being raised by Mike Huckabee, because
right.
that dude doesn't even know how jokes work. It's just like watching
yeah.
him write jokes on Twitter is just like, what are you, an alien? What is happening?
Right.
Maybe that's why some of Michelle's jokes were a little too wordy, because they were like, we want them to relate, so we'll do them in Huckabee
right.
style.
Right, right, right.
And she thought that, yeah, she thought maybe she'd be like, oh, your dad writes jokes like this.
Right. I speak fluent Huckabee. excuse me for one moment. So Trump was also pissed about this. He was like, we need to get rid of this filthy dinner. Drudge, the front page of Drudge was like a smut dinner shocks Washington.
Right.
Like, just everybody was like, you know, yeah, clutching their pearls is a great way to put it. But I think the reason Trump was so upset is that the main way she went in on Trump was pointing out that he doesn't have as much money as he claims he does,
right.
that he's not as rich as he claims, which I've talked about before on the show, that like when I worked at ABC, we did a story on this, and the only reason we weren't able to come out and prove that he didn't have as much money as he claims he has is because he threatened to sue ABC until they had to like basically defang the story.
Right. And be like, oh, Donald Trump has some money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's basically what we could get away with saying. It was a terrible story by the
right.
time it reached the air, because our legal department was just like, yeah, you can't say any of this because
yeah.
he's going to sue us. But
dude, this Michael Cohen guy has been calling us. It sounds real scary.
Well, he only uses him for some deals.
Right,
so,
right.
Some deals.
But so Anthony Jeselnik, who was heavily involved in the Trump roast in 2011 on Comedy Central, said that the only guideline they were given, it was basically Trump's one rule was don't say I have less money than I say I do. His kids were fair game. His wife was fair game. He said, and I remember one of my jokes was about his casino business failing, and I could feel that hurt coming off him. He didn't like that joke, and I told a joke about people being glad he has cancer. He says in amazement. So, like, he's just the one thing he's really sensitive about is any suggestion that he is just completely a con man who made up the fact that she's rich to then use that to get people to give him money, which is apparently completely how he's made his money. But because she specifically went in on that one thing that makes him angry, he has really flipped out and I think gotten the conservative media behind him.
Yeah, and it was interesting also to see just even also people like from the New York Times or Andrea Mitchell come to Sarah Sanders' defense. Because I think one of the other things that Michelle Wolf points out is that, look, a lot of y'all actually owe Trump a lot because you are profiting off of him. And rather than being completely objective at times, you want to like be a sycophant, you want to suck up for access and things like that. And you're not always doing everyone the service that they're owed.
Right.
And I think that also struck a lot of journalists, which is, I think that was a line that probably got a lot of journalists to begin coming at her as well, because I don't think a lot of people in that room wanted to do that sort of little bit of introspection, self-awareness moment for them, because they're like, yeah, wait, am I just also using this guy for clicks? And
They are. I mean, they know they are.
Yeah. And I think you look at people like Maggie Haberman, like, you know, she's written some good stuff, but at the same time, she also has to suck up to Trump and has to do that visibly and also report in weird ways that has people confused or like, where do you stand on shit? Because part of the theater, I think, for some of these journalists is writing stuff that you're also gaming the people you're writing about. So when they see it, they go, oh, no, this person's cool. Like, I can let them in. But that's part of their calculus to be sort of like inconsistent where they
are. It's an awkward position because Maggie Haberman is now a household name, and she's a household name because Trump kind of likes her, which must feel weird to her to be like, I'm like building a career as a legitimate journalist by critiquing this guy. But the only reason that I'm able to do that is because this guy sort of likes me in a way.
Right.
And so like that makes her almost complicit in the whole thing. Like she's a wing of his propaganda arm. And so she got real pissed off about just the whole thing.
Yeah, her tweet was, she's like, that press sec, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, sat and absorbed intense criticism of her physical appearance, her job performance, and so forth, instead of walking out on national television, was impressive.
Yeah.
What? Do they want Kermit to? I don't understand. That's the entire point of the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is also how everybody responded when Stephen Colbert, in what is now like a legendary comedic performance, like one of the comedic performances from our lifetime that might actually be in history books, because he went up like on the same dais as George W. Bush and just like fucking shredded him.
Yeah.
Just like tore him to shreds like in his Stephen Colbert character. And you could hear a pin drop. The jokes went over so well. People were not feeling it, but he just like pushed through. And in the aftermath, in the days after that, I remember, you know, this was the story. It was like, they need to get rid of this correspondence dinner. Like, that wasn't funny. The only good thing about it was what a good sport George W. Bush was. And like, in the long run, we'll see where things shake out. But I think in the meantime, people are going to be like really worried about, you know, whose feelings she hurt. And also they're going to be butt hurt. And
And you've, again, you know, some people wrote that maybe this is a bad thing because it allows the right fuel to keep fanning this culture war, to be like, look at these elites laughing, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, comedy and comedians, the whole thing is to talk about uncomfortable shit. And sometimes like laughs that make you uncomfortable get you to think a little bit.
Right.
And I don't think people appreciated sort of where the jokes took them. Was it too much? I don't know. Again, you have a comedian up there hired to do a roast. So I don't know what you expected. If you didn't want that, then get like that weird old guy who claims he's 28 years old who Trump loves. You know what I'm talking about?
What's his name? Dan
America's
Meenan?
Favorite millennial
whatever.
Comedian.
Yeah, he's like 70 years old.
Like in his 50s.
Yeah, get that guy up there. But
Dan Nyman, I think.
Something like that. Oh, yeah. What did Roseanne say, too? She, the first rule of comedy? Did you guys see that?
Yeah. So Roseanne came out in the aftermath and was like, the first rule of comedy is never make fun of somebody in the audience if they're more famous than you, because then the audience will be uncomfortable and won't go with you on the ride. And Dan O'Brien at DOB Inc. pointed out on Twitter, he was like, wait, that's the first rule of comedy? That seems pretty specific.
Damn, and that's how you got to where you are?
Right.
Also, yeah, do you want to hear people talk about someone you don't lesser? Know about? You don't...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like when the Kanye says, going, hey, well, how you doing, man? My name is Miles Gray. Man, let me tell y'all about this girl I went to high school, man, Caitlin Gilmore, man. Fuck. Like, that's going to lose people. There's no touchstone for everyone.
The second rule of comedy. Comedy comes from love, not hate. If you feel hate, you won't get laughs. Okay.
Third rule of comedy. Grab your crotch and spit after butchering the national anthem. People will love it. Trust me. She knows. Dan Ninen.
D-A-N.
And then his last name. N-A-I-N-A-N. That is the future of political comedy in this country. Just take a look if the conservatives would have their way.
Yeah. And a lot
this
of people,
is your homie.
The other thing was the lies aspect, like that people were hanging on to. There was a guy who went on CNN and was like, you know, I don't think it's journalist's job to point out lies. They just need to report on what's said, like stenography.
Right.
Like just report on what's there. And I guess, yes, to a certain extent, to say someone is lying means you have to establish their intent in lying or whatever. And if you're being a journalist, then whatever. But it's very clear there are many examples from this administration that people are misleading intentionally to perpetuate or to further some narrative that protects them or furthers their own agenda. So, like, especially when you have people talking like that, we also have to remember that we need the press. And above all, the First Amendment is very important. So to come after this comedian for being well within their First Amendment rights to say what they want to, I think is dumb. And look, if you were too sensitive, then figure out your dinners, man. Hire somebody
yeah,
else.
But like, she's doing her job. I don't know.
Yeah. Trump came out and specifically said that he thinks the dinner needs to be put to rest or start over, which it starts over every year.
Yeah.
Like it's not a thing where they're constantly having this dinner.
We
like
need a new format.
Hours. Yeah. So yeah, I would love to see what he does with it. I'm sure it would be awesome.
I think this is the solution. With a situation like this, she's the only one doing the jokes, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't get a chance to like talk back. So please, for the love of God, I would love to see Sarah Sanders get up there and try to roast her back.
Right.
Like, give them the platform back.
Wait, doesn't the president would go up and do a little prepared bit, right?
Yeah, so when the president actually goes to the...
Oh, but she wasn't able to do that like on his behalf, huh?
I don't think so.
Oh, I guess not.
And
yeah.
I think the comedian closes it. Like usually it's
right,
the president
right,
or whoever the president equivalent is gets up. And during the Obama administration, it would be just like him killing for 45 minutes
straight. Right.
And then I've heard the comedians who hosted it interviewed and they're like, yeah, it's fucking terrible because you follow the president who has great like comedic instincts and like good timing and he crushes and then you have to get up and he's not even a comedian and he just did better than you're going to do.
Yeah, talk about a room that's like everyone's on his side.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, then I guess, yeah, Barbara, you're right. Next year, Trump, start working right now. Put your writer's room together. Start working on these jokes.
Get Dennis Miller in there.
Yeah, get Dennis Miller,
guy. Oh, yeah, that's one thing that everybody needs to be looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday.
Soon.
Get ready for Wednesday. Dennis Miller responded on Twitter, what a filthy woman Michelle Wolf is. I'm going to spend the next couple days researching her.
Yeah.
And I'll write some really filthy jokes about her on Wednesday, which... Everyone was like, that's not how Twitter works.
That's right. Takes a very everyone will have forgotten
about this
by then.
You're not quick enough to scope some shit, Dennis?
Right.
All right.
He's got to research those references.
Come on, bro.
I like telling everybody that, it's going to take you that long to think of a comeback.
Yeah, just fucking wait till Wednesday and be like, actually, I have some shit to say. Like, don't let people know it's going to take you like 3 days to come up with some shit to fucking clap back with.
But so Trump's actual response was to shit on Michelle Wolf's delivery, said the filthy, quote, comedian totally bombed, and then in parentheses, couldn't even deliver her lines, much like the Seth Meyers weak performance. So that is still burning him up.
Is that the one?
That's the one where he just...
That started the engine of spite?
Yeah, that destroyed our world, essentially, Seth Meyers...
That's funny that he's coming at her that she couldn't even say her lines right because while this dinner was happening, Trump was doing a concert in Michigan, which I call a rally now. I call it the Coachella for ignorant people. And Trump, Beyonce, he took the stage and did a 75-minute unscripted jazz solo, which we love around here because that's when the really wacky shit comes out. So I guess maybe to first start off, let's just answer the point directly, because my man Trump also had trouble saying very basic words as well. This is him talking about Obamacare. His explanation of Obamacare is really interesting to follow. Just check this out.
But you no longer have the individual mandate. You remember what that is. That's where you had the privilege, a privilege of going out and spending a lot of money so that you had the second privilege of not having to buy health care.
What the fuck?
Couldn't even deliver her lines.
Yeah, privilege.
Like the privilege.
Hey, don't talk to me about white privilege. All right? Because we're out here. So yeah, he's in Michigan. And he did, like, literally all the hits, like he always does. Well, he never fails. Talking about Hillary, talking about the wall, talking about immigrants, talking about McCain doing a thumbs down on that Obamacare repeal vote. He just had heat for everyone. Then John Tester coming out against John Tester because the senator from Montana was the first one to bring up Dr. Ronnie Jackson's complaints. And obviously Trump took such a big L rather than, again, accepting responsibility for just nominating the coolest guy, you know, who's also a doctor,
right,
for the position to run the VA.
By the way, he was so accurate in those criticisms that Dr. Ronnie Jackson is not even going to be allowed to come back as the president's doctor.
He's demoted, right?
He's been demoted. So, like, I don't know why you're getting mad at him.
Yeah.
If anything, he did you a favor by letting you know that your doctor was a fuck up.
Yeah, coming at John, which is crazy. This guy's running for election. He's like, oh, I think this guy needs to be out, whatever. So, again, moving along. One of my favorite things, though, was when he brings up, like, Latino unemployment. I don't know. He simply brings up Latinos, and you can kind of start hearing people just fucking booing or whatever. This is another one. And then, again, because he's so quick, this man knows how to play a solo.
Oh, yeah. He was like, he
lost
tries
the room.
To go back
he does a sick pivot. I know he's trying to get the brown people in the room, so check this pivot out.
Unemployment. Any Hispanics in the room? Hispanic? Nah, not so many. That's okay. And by the way, in all fairness,
pivot.
Kanye West gets it. He got it.
I was like, wait, does Trump think Kanye's Hispanic? That was such a weird jump.
I think he said Kanye got it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He really got street, south side in the building. So shout out to Donald Trump for really abonifying that statement.
Oh, man, what a weird moment of awkwardness with the silence and then into booing. And he's like, no, not so much. Okay.
Yeah, Latinos. Okay, not so many. Boo. Okay. Kanye. Huh?
Right.
That activated the background real quick. So if you look in the background, one of my favorite Trump-supporting people of color, Michael the Black Guy, which I'm pretty sure he calls himself. He was the dude we've seen around many rallies, but the last time we really saw him.
He's the one black guy they can find who will go on camera and be like, yes, I am a Trump supporter.
Yes, and he wears a shirt, Blacks for Trumps. He was last time we saw him was during the Arizona rally that got pretty litty, and everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy making all the white people uncomfortable despite him wearing pro-Trump paraphernalia? So this guy, Michael, he was there again. Somehow he showed up in Michigan. I don't know where this man lives, but he's there to be an ever-present black man in the background.
I mean, someone's probably paying him to be like, please God, show up to this
one. Yeah, probably. I mean, oh God, shout out to his perm too, because it is the next level.
They are absolutely bringing him to these. They're paying for him to fly.
Yes. Now, this guy, Michael the black man, has a very interesting backstory. His real name was actually Maurice Woodside, and people began kind of digging into it because they're like, who is this guy? Like, because he had a website that was on his shirt, too, that said godschew.com or whatever, and it's just full of weird, like, killery type, anti-LGBT, just all kinds of wild shit. And so when you really read into this guy, it's as you would expect someone who is a Trump-supporting person of color. Not that you have to be insane, but just check this man out. In around 1980, this is from the New York Times, he joined a cult led by Hulam Mitchell Jr., who went by Yahweh Ben Yahweh, and eventually turned violent, this cult. This guy, Maurice Woodside, he followed his teachings for years to the point that when this guy's mother got sick, the Yahweh guy was like, do not put her on medicine, give her a diet of like fruits and vegetables and nuts and herbs. And they're like, she has cancer. And they're like, I know this will heal her. That did not help. And his brother, like at the time, was like disagreeing. They're like, we need actual medical care. So when eventually this group was put on trial, his brother, his own brother, testified against him. And the shit that he testified to about his brother, it's next level. I don't even know what to say. So he testified in court that his brother had helped beat a man named Ashton Green, who argued that with Yahweh, and was taken to the Florida Everglades and beheaded with a dull machete. He also testified that his brother Maurice Woodside was the cult member who stabbed a Louisiana man named Leonard Dupree in the eye with a sharpened stick.
Holy shit.
Wait, so the guy who is behind Trump during these things is the guy who beheaded somebody
with a dull machete and stabbed a guy in the eye with a stick. His own brother, that black man you see behind, his own brother is saying, my brother did this shit or testified in court. Now, he was acquitted, so take from that what you want, but it says a lot. Who knows exactly where this dude is coming from, but if you look at his website, it's all the way ignorant.
It's just cool to think about how chill, like, people would have been with Obama having someone behind him, you know, and that doing that same thing.
Oh,
like,
my God. Absolutely.
We'll just let that go, you know? No one cares about that.
Well, this is the never-ending hypocrisy of this of the times we live in. But what's crazy, now, when he was acquitted, he comes out of the court and people are like, hey, what was going on? Were you scared at all? And he says, you know why I wasn't scared? This is Michael the Black Man talking to the New York Times. Because Yahweh wasn't scared.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, welcome, Kanye. you're amongst good people.
I will say I was Googling Michael the Black Man and I felt very weird.
Yeah.
Just putting that into Google, I was like, I feel weird doing this right now. But.
No, but like that's like the branding he does for like his white audience.
Right.
Like, you know what
I
mean? Where it's like, oh, that's Michael the Black Man. And we can say that because he calls himself that and it's not problematic. And he's basically letting me feel comfortable with my own racism.
Wait, he calls himself that actually?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just joking.
No, that's his branding.
That and God's Two. Couldn't get God's One, I
God's
guess.
God's2.com. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, God's.com was a great website. So, you know, I don't know how he's going to follow that up.
See? So Trump isn't lying when he says that he got lots of black votes in that thing. He was like, they said black people weren't going to vote for me. I got lots of black votes. There was this guy. And then.
I mean, Kanye, if he would have voted.
Right.
So.
And literally no one else, because if he were able to find somebody else, I'm sure he would have found somebody besides the guy who possibly beheaded somebody in the Florida Everglades with a dull machete.
Yeah. Well, Diamond and Silk, too. You got Diamond and Silk.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And we wanted to touch on a story that's been kind of not really under the radar, but sort of under the radar for how crazy it is. You would think that in our world, a story about a celebrity cult with an actress who was, you know, on a major TV show for a long time in a sex cult, that would be like the number one story. But, you know, the world is what it is today. So we're talking about it now for the first time, even though it's been sort of ongoing for the past couple months.
And many people have been like, talk about this, talk about this.
So the cult is called NXIVM, even though it is spelled N-X-I-V-M. They just know that good social media engineering shit. They know to like spell it all weird to get people.
Yeah, like ASAP Rocky.
Exactly. But yeah, this is a cult that was in existence for, you know, a couple decades. They were, you know, branding women. There was like a weird sort of S&M relationship where the leader was sort of the master and they were his slaves vibe to the whole thing.
Like an R. Kelly type of.
Yeah. And
hashtag mute R. Kelly.
And they were branding each other and shit. And I just think it's. This brings me back to something that I've, you know, been talking about a lot as I've been reading this book, Lost Connections, which I mentioned last week, but forgot to say the name of the book. It's called Lost Connections, about just the way that a lot of depression and anxiety in the modern world are caused by our sort of taking ourselves out of having a social network of friends, only having a social network online. We're sort of seeing a systematic withdrawal from social structures. Like one of the examples the book gives that I think is illustrative, even though it's sort of a small thing, is that people used to do like bowling leagues. That was like a huge thing in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
Everybody would like be on a bowling team and they would like bowl against each other in teams. And like that's just not a thing that ever happens anymore. Now people just go bowling by themselves or, you know, with friends, but you're like, on your own. You're not like part of a team. And anyways,
America was great.
Right. Exactly. Let's go back to that time.
I think the people who wrote this book just really love bowling. Yeah. They're like, I really want somebody to bowl with
Underwritten by Big Bowling.
But they just talk about how as our number of friends have gone down, depression has gone up. And, you know, we developed as a species when we were in tribes. And now, like since the 60s in particular, we've tried to exist outside of these like social groups, and we've seen depression and anxiety go up. And like one of the ways that, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the documentary, or I know Miles, you saw Wild Wild Country, but
I haven't seen all of them. I need to watch like the last one.
Dark
too.
But like the, you know, pure ecstasy and pure joy that the people feel of like just being part of this group.
Right.
Like that's kind of what this book made me think of. And, you know, just like, cults are like scratching an itch that's out there. That's like not having a social group to be a part of.
Yeah, and having like meaning to move in a specific direction.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, because some people get that from politics. Some people get it from sports. Some people get that from other things. And I guess if you're more on spiritually inclined, some kind of group like this could get you in. But who was Allison Mack?
So she was, I think, Superman's best friend on Smallville.
Man, I didn't watch Smallville, so this isn't quite resonating with me. But it's crazy, though, to think that somebody who, you know, is going from Hollywood and has it together. Well, I mean, it's Hollywood, so take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, ends up in like such a violent sort of cult like this.
Yeah, she was hitting up like Kelly Clarkson and Emma Watson trying to get them to join. Because their whole pitch was like, this is a feminist movement that like sort of empowers itself by completely ceding all power
to this. By being dominated by a man.
To this man master who we are slaves to.
Wait, how did they? I wonder what the logic
was
there. Yeah,
I want to know what that email looked like. Yeah. Was that the?
Okay, now look. I know on paper it sounds like we're just going to be a slave to this man.
Yeah. So they never even like gave her the time of day, because you can actually look at it. Like, there's at Allison Mack tweets at M Watson. I participate in a unique human development and women's movement I'd love to tell you about. As a fellow actress, I can relate. So, and then at Kelly Clarkson. I heard through the grapevine you're a fan of Smallville. I'm a fan of yours as well. I'd love to chat sometime. Ooh. And just like kept hitting her up over the course of years. And Kelly Clarkson was just like,
should we check out this guy everybody was?
Keith Raniere.
There he is.
Oh, dude. He looks like
the sexy cult master man.
He looked like a pickup artist.
Yeah. I think his eyes are photoshopped blue in this picture.
Oh, no. Red flag one.
I mean, I think everyone is looking for salvation in some way. Like, through, you know, sometimes I understand how people get caught up in this kind of shit. Because you're right. They're looking for purpose and they're looking for community. Yeah. And if for some reason you think that this is going to provide
same
that,
shit the gangs offer kids, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you sometimes, if you don't have that, the first thing that comes your way that seems like it offers you that, it's appealing.
It'll make you feel special in some way.
Yeah.
But you would think that, like, now that we're in a world where we have all the world's information at our fingertips with the internet, that like we wouldn't fall for cult shit anymore. But I think because we are becoming more and more isolated from each other because of the internet, essentially, that we're going to be more and more susceptible to this sort of shit, like now and going forward. There's all these like weird YouTube cults and shit where people recruit children to their weird.
Well, I think of MRAs as in the same world.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they all kind of like need each other to keep fueling this.
God. Right. And, you know, as a great Kanye West said, I mean, we're in this so-called information age, but we're starving for wisdom.
Let's move on to really
he dropped some wisdom.
Yeah.
The great philosopher of our time,
in
Mr.
real
West.
Time.
So he dropped two songs over the weekend, which would normally be a cause to celebrate, but they were one of them was, you know, the beat was kind of cool, the way he like chopped up this song.
We thought we were getting
AKA was a reference to it.
Yeah, we thought we were getting the old Kanye back.
Yeah, and then he started rapping. He kind of closes it out with this verse where he's like talking shit about like how great this is gonna be. And here, let's listen to it.
Boop dee dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee scoop dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop whoop poop. Poop dee dee whoop scoop. Poop. Poop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee dee scoop. Whoop dee dee scoop poop.
God damn.
God, I wish that Michelle
Wolf. Yo, get the fire extinguisher here.
If I was Michelle Wolf and that had come out like the day before, that would have been my opening.
Yeah.
Line. If she just came out and said poop dee dee scoop first.
Thank you
of
so
all.
Much for the White House Correspondents Association. I would just like to start by saying poopy dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee. Scoop dee whoop. Poop. Poop. When he really turns up poop, whoop. I'm really into that. Yeah, I remember like when that tweet came out, everyone was like, yo, he just put it, I don't know, he just released something, I haven't heard it yet. And then it's a troll job for sure.
Oh,
and he was even referencing Ebro. He's like, here's the clothes you might need, brother. Listen to the last verse, gibberish.
I'm surprised he didn't Rickroll everybody. Like, that's what the level that this trolling.
Yeah.
He would need to be more on the in tune with culture, though, to be able to know about the Rickroll, I think. That was really the smokescreen for the real uppercut out of nowhere, which was his song that he dropped with T.I. called Ye Versus the People, in which this track, Ye Versus the People, is basically Kanye trying to explain what the fuck he was talking about the last week when everyone was like, have you lost your fucking mind, bruh?
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what all of his verses are referencing. Like, he's making really valid points. He's like, don't you get the optics? Don't you get what Trump stands for? How do you think this is going to do to your legacy? And then Kanye's verses are all just rebuttals to that, which aren't really rebuttals.
Yeah. Basically, seems like he thought he was telling us something about his point of view that we hadn't thought of yet. And like, we were going to be like, oh, shit. But it's just exactly what you expected him to say.
Right.
Or like, it's the first thoughts that came to your mind when you heard he thought that he was like doing a smart thing by joining up on the MAGA side.
All right, well, let's listen to like the last two verses, the last right. Kanye verse and the last T.I. verse. So you can kind of get an idea of how this back and forth was working.
This shit just as bad as Catholic preachers raping in church. Y'all been leading with hate. See, I just approach it different, like a gang truce. The first blood to shake a Crip's hand. I know everybody emotional. Is it better if I rap about crack, huh? Cause it's cultural.
Okay.
Or how about I'ma shoot you? Or fuck your bitch? Or how about all this Gucci? Cause I'm fucking rich. You disregard for the lack of respect. Starting to make it seem like Donnie cut you a check. Now you're toying with high lava, babe. Be careful with that. What's it mean to gain the world if you ain't standing for shit? Okay, I gotta say it, yeah. You sound high as a bitch. Your genocide and slavery, we should just try and forget. And all the free thought shit, find a better defense. But if you ain't just stuck in your way, we can leave it at that. Fuck it.
All right, Tip, we could be rapping about this all day, man. Why don't we just cut the beat off and let the people talk?
Hey, man, you brought up actual sane points about what I was saying. But we can just, I guess we can just
stop
recording
here. Let's
let the
people talk.
I like this, like, the girl is mine, but there.
Right, exactly.
He lets T.I. body him?
On his own song. Like, what's crazy is T.I. is really saying, yeah, let's just forget about all the slavery genocide and using that history to understand where we are and how to move forward. And then Kanye's like, and then T.I.'s like, I don't know, or maybe you're just stuck in your ways. Fuck it. I don't know. Maybe you're an idiot.
Right.
Essentially, and Kanye's like, yeah, okay, cool.
Oh,
thanks,
man, we could talk about this forever.
He seemed like what, you know, like a ultra right wing pundit sounds like when they go onto the news and journalists press them for actual answers. Like, do you understand what this communicates to people? And they just completely disregard. They don't answer the question. They talk about maybe something thematically that's a bigger thing and speak in generalities. And it just kind of felt like that was every time T.I. brought up a concern about this political shift or whatever Kanye's trying to do, it was never really addressing what he was saying. Just like, oh, I wore the MAGA hat and I transformed it.
Right.
No, motherfucker, the MAGA hat transformed you.
Right.
I think he really thinks that maybe he put the MAGA hat on and now people are like, oh, he somehow transformed the symbolic nature of it.
Right.
It's like a line that he actually says, and he's like, I added empathy and love. And it's like, you you energized a bunch of people
right.
on the wrong side.
Right. And I mean, he tweeted at one point over the weekend, he said, you know, I don't know everything about this conservative stuff and the MAGA side, and I still need to do research. And yeah, that's evident. It's very similar to a lot of conservative talking points in the sense that it is completely failing to take into account the points of view of other people. It's
right.
like not even regarding them as people. And I think in Kanye's case, it's because he has an interesting thing I heard somebody say about like education, like going to college is it's important just to humble you because
right.
it teaches you all the shit that you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, I think, with Kanye and with Trump is that they just... they don't know what they don't know, and so they're just crazy confident in their very myopic
points.
And
magma
in the generalities,
takes.
When it's like, no, this is about love and hate. It's like, no,
it's not.
Motherfucker,
I'm the first
Crip
to shake a blood's hand. No, just because you embrace Donald Trump doesn't mean that suddenly Donald Trump is going to reciprocate with love and sympathy for these other people that he talks regularly about with, like, complete disregard for their humanity.
Right.
So... I don't know. I mean, cool. Again, I've just sort of been like, I think everyone just needs to accept that he just doesn't know what he doesn't know and just let him do whatever the fuck he's going to do. I'm tired of this guy.
Oh, do you think he knows
just started
about
following? He stopped. Okay, remember he was just following Kim Kardashian? Now he's following Candace Owens and Emma Gonzalez.
Oh, nice.
So I guess that'll balance it out. Because over the weekend, he was like, Emma Gonzalez is my hero. And the comments, the replies from all his MAGA fans were like, hey, man, you've been really right about most stuff this week. She's actually like a big bully. Like they were really shitting themselves over like, wait, what's going on? Which leads a lot of people to think like, is he trolling? Is this part of a greater art experiment statement? Honestly, if this poopity scoop Kanye is what's the new thing, I'll fuck with that. I'd rather hear that than the MAGA bullshit. And honestly, that song goes harder than the other one.
I remember when he was making Late Registration, that a reporter went to where he was recording, and they said that he was laying down all his verses like, da 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 da. Like, he hadn't written the words yet.
Okay.
He was just doing, like, poop-diddy-scoop shit.
Okay.
Like, as placeholders his, like, verses, because he just knew how he wanted it to sound. He didn't know what he wanted to say yet.
Ah.
So I wonder if that's what we're seeing.
You got an accidental placeholder track.
Right, yeah.
I fuck with Trump. You fuck with Trump, and I fuck with Trump too. Like, is that what he's really thinking? He's like, right. Yeah.
Hopefully not.
Melania is chill. But let's She's just, misunderstood. Dude, Poopity Scoop, I can't stop talking about
it. Yeah, Poopity Scoop is dope. Yeah. I actually really like it. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how to feel about that.
This dude is a joke. He's a clown.
He is. But also, I still like his music.
I know. Hey. How far does it go? Like,
but you know,
with the Trump shit.
You know what's funny is that, like, when you look at a lot of musicians, the thing that they think is like a shitty cast off joke, like, for instance, Elvis's whole thing, like, he did a 3-hour session where he, like, the first time he ever recorded something, where they were like, nah, man, like, none of this is working. And then he started doing this bit that he did at home for his mom where he was like, oh, thank you very much, right. Like, as a bit. And they were like, that's amazing. And that's how Elvis, like, invented Elvis, was as a joke. So, like, I think a lot of times, like, artists, Steeler's Wheel, the Stuck in the Middle with You, they're making fun of Bob Dylan in that song. And it's the right. only hit they've ever had. Like, so it's when these, like, musicians think that they're just, like, fucking, like, doing something as a bit, they're actually, like, making better stuff. And then when they try and do their big serious thing like Kanye yeah. did, that's when they sound like shit.
That has to feel like an L for him because nobody is talking about, I took the MAGA hat, wore it, gave it empathy. Everybody's now... Poopity Scoop.
Yeah, he literally he thought he was about to start this big conversation. Yeah. End, and everyone's talking about Poopity Scoop.
Nobody's fucking with that other MAGA shit, Kanye. I'm sorry. And that's the thing with intent, especially when you're trying to be creative. It's so important to just be honest, right? And I think Kanye released himself of expectation when he was recording Poopity Scoop and was just like, fuck it. They think, blah, blah, watch this. I'm just going to be me or whatever and just fuck around. And then when he puts the intent of, like, trying to spin his, like, really problematic takes, it's just a song that falls flat, in which case the person providing the other point of view completely owns him.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think everybody needs to make a push. Imagine if he won a Grammy for Poopity Scoop. He would fucking lose his shit because that wasn't the thing to him that deserves it, much in the way that his in-real-time Twitter book that is supposed to go up against Kendrick's Pulitzer,
yeah.
you know, is not going to work out.
Yeah. No, I think he's definitely winning the Pulitzer for that, though. Barbara, it's been wonderful having you, as always. Where can people find you?
My website is myjokesareuphere.com, and I'm on Twitter at BabsGray.
Awesome. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me trying to memorize the entire verse of Lift Yourself, starting with poopity scoop, scoop-diddy whoop.
I think you already got it.
Poopity scoop-dee, scoop-dee whoop, whoopity scoop whoop poop. Poop diddy whoop scoop poop poop. Okay, thank you so much. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Does anybody have at poop diddy scoop?
Oh yeah, oh, I remember the sure. second that shit happened. Like I was like looking and like the handles were starting to like all the gone. Iterations. And the thing that was funny is I think people had differing opinions on how to phonetically spell
to
out the
right.
lyrics.
Right.
So there's like whoopity scoop versus like whoopity versus whoopity woopity.
Well, because is it like diddy like dittyor diddy?
Why? Who knows? Pooskitty doo.
As they say, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about on today's episode. That is going to do it for today. Miles, what are we going to ride out on?
You know, let's just give everybody a palate cleanser. No hip hop today. No nothing. I'm going to take it to. Let's take a trip down to Brazil for one of my favorite Brazilian artists, Jorge Ben. And this is a song called Errare Uma Num Est. And that is my whack Portuguese for the day. It's just a really dope, trippy song. This guy was recording like really out there shit. And I just really like Jorge Ben. So check this song out. It's got a nice little rhythm to it. It's got some little delays on it. Trippy. It's trippy.
Fucking love rhythm,
and that's,
man.
I love rhythm, man. I mean, that's
I'm a
why,
big fan.
That's why I really fuck with Kanye's verse, because he's really doing some like triplet swung. It's almost like, is that almost like iambic pentameter almost? It's like, it has like a rhythm to it. But guys, I'm really going to delve into these lyrics, and I might start seeing the Matrix on all of this. So anyway, peep Jorge Ben, and have a good week.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye. Go Sixers.
que eu acordo pensando e querendo saber de onde vem o nosso impulso de sondar o espaço. A começar pelas sombras sobre as estrelas, lá, 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 lá. E de pensar que eram os deuses astronautas e que se pode voar sozinho até as estrelas. Impossíveis. E de pensar que não somos os primeiros seres terrestres, pois nós herdamos uma herança cósmica.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.